This is a tape on the life of Johann Sebastian Bach, the great composer of the Baroque period. 1685 to 1750 are the years that he lived. Over 300 years ago, in a town called Eisenach, Johann Sebastian Bach was born. His parents were excited to have this new little boy in their family. People ever since that day who loved the music this little boy would write have also been very happy. For on March 21st, 1685, in that small German town, Johann Sebastian Bach was born. His great spiritual sensitivity, along with hard work and constant striving for excellence, gave the world one of its greatest composers. Let's look more closely at his story. Bach's father, Johann Ambrosius, was the town piper for Eisenach. Ambrosius could play many different instruments, including the organ, violin, trumpet, and drums, and he had a fine voice as well. His twin brother, Johann Christoph, was famous all over Germany as a fine organist. In fact, the whole Bach family was very well known for their musical skills. Their reputation was so great that the townspeople soon began calling anyone who was a good musician a Bach, whether he was an actual Bach or not. The Bach family was very large. They loved to have family reunions. Today, some popular activities at family reunions might be camping, eating lots of food, or watching homemade videos of past reunions. At Bach family reunions, the favorite thing to do was to make music. Grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, everyone would all gather around the clavier, which was the German word for a keyboard instrument. Then they would sing and sing and sing and sing. Many times they even composed their own songs to sing. With so many musicians around, Bach must have wanted to join in all the musical fun. So while he was still a young boy, his father began teaching Bach to play the violin. His father was an excellent teacher, but he wasn't able to teach Bach for very long. In 1694, Bach's mother, Elizabeth, died. Less than a year later, his father also died, making Bach an orphan. When he was just 10 years old, he was an orphan. Not only did Bach lose his parents, but now he had no way to buy food or clothes. So his oldest brother, Johann Christoph, took Johann Sebastian and his brother Johann Jakob to live with the family. Losing both parents and then having to move away from all his friends must have been a great shock for Bach. But he had to learn to deal with sadness, for he would have many more sad moments in his life. One way to deal with sadness is to work very hard, and work Johann Sebastian did. He began school in the town where he lived. The two most important subjects at the school were religion and Latin. Bach studied very hard for many months. Gradually, he became the best Latin student, even though there were many boys much older than he was in the class. Bach also began to work even harder on another project. His brother Christoph began teaching him clavier lessons. Oh, how Bach loved this! Christoph had a wonderful book of compositions from many of the great composers of the day. It was a priceless treasure. Bach was progressing well with his lessons when one day he saw the book. The pieces inside looked so exciting and fun, Bach wanted to learn one so badly he hopefully asked his teacher Christoph if he could. Now Christoph felt the pieces were much too hard for Bach, so he said, no. Then, knowing Bach's inquisitive nature, he carefully locked the book in a cabinet where Bach wouldn't be able to get at it. But did that stop Bach? No. He was even more curious now. What good was a book locked in a cabinet, he thought. The book probably wouldn't like being locked up in a cabinet, unable to help people learn. What was he to do? Well, that night, he went where the cabinet was while everyone was asleep, reached his hands carefully between the bars, grabbed the book, and carefully pulled it out. Once it was out, he carefully rolled it up so that he could slip it back through the bars. Once out of the cabinet, he would sit down and quickly copy the music onto another paper so that he could study it when Christoph wasn't home. Night after night, for 6 months, he repeated this process until nearly the whole book had been copied. One night, as Bach was copying, Christoph awoke. He crept into the room to see what was happening. Then he found Bach out of bed and realized that he must have been out of bed for many nights. He was furious. He grabbed the manuscript Bach had been copying for so long and threw it away. And the original book he put back into a place where Bach would never be able to reach it at all. From this story, we see that Bach was like many other people of the Baroque period. He was eager to study and experience the music in Christoph's book for himself, not just hear it played by someone else. Christoph must have felt pretty good when he threw that manuscript away, thinking, aha, Bach would never have this music now. But Bach didn't mind that much, because through the process of copying the music, he had learned it. It was all in his head. And through copying it, he learned much about the style of the great composers in the book. When Bach was 15, he left his brother's house and journeyed to another town to join a boys' choir at St. Michael's Church. This boys' choir was a very special choir. The boys who sang in the choir received a room to sleep in and free meals for singing in the choir. On top of that, they earned $25 a year, which was a lot of money then. Bach must have practiced the organ very hard in his spare time, because when he was just 18 years old, he became the organist in the city of Arnstadt. Now, you might wonder why little boys would be given food and boarding for singing in the church. They didn't have women sing in the church choirs in those days. Only men or little boys could sing in the church, and the little boys would take the very high parts. As an 18-year-old organist in the church, Bach was responsible for much more than just playing the organ. He was also in charge of the small orchestra and the choir that would perform with the organ on Sundays. Many of the musicians were the same age or even older than Bach was. It was difficult for him to tell these musicians what to do, because they didn't enjoy taking orders from someone as young as Bach. One day, as the group was trying to rehearse, the bassoon player did something wrong. Bach lost all his patience and yelled, "You nanny goat bassoonist!" How do you think that made the bassoonist feel? You're right. He wasn't happy. He was furious. What nerve had this little young scallywag to call him names? Well, he'd show Bach a thing or two. That night, as Bach was out walking with his cousin, Barbara, he was suddenly attacked. The bassoonist began beating Bach with a stick. Bach quickly drew his sword, and a nasty fight ensued. Luckily, some friends ran up and separated the two before either had been seriously hurt. But this was not all the trouble that was brewing. In Arnstadt, there lived a beautiful young lady named Maria Barbara Bach. Bach met Maria and began falling in love. In those days, women were not allowed to sing in the churches. However, Maria had a lovely voice, and Bach wanted to hear her sing in the best possible place, which was the church, of course. So they sneaked in. Oh, what fine music they made, with only each other for an audience, or so they thought. But someone else must have been listening too, because the town council soon found out about this. The fact that this girl sang in the church, and Bach had a fight with a bassoonist did not please them at all. Meanwhile, in the far-off town of Lübeck, another famous German organist began giving magnificent organ recitals. People flocked from miles around to hear Dietrich Buxtehude play. When word of the recitals reached Bach, his desire for knowledge was stirred once again. He had to hear the great Buxtehude play. Over and over he begged the town council to allow him to go to Lübeck to hear this great, wonderful organist play. Finally, they relented and let him have 1 month's vacation. Now Lübeck was about 280 miles away from Arnstadt. There were no cars in those days, and Bach could not afford a horse or a carriage. He had no other transportation except for his feet, and he used them. He walked 280 miles to the concert and to the church where Buxtehude played. His feet must have been very tired, but they rested as his eyes and ears were taking the sensational sights and sounds of Buxtehude making music. Night after night, Bach listened. His 4 week vacation, up much too soon, extended into 5 weeks, then six, then 7, 8, 9, 10, clear up to 16 weeks or 4 months. Needless to say, when Bach finally arrived back in Arnstadt, the town council was fuming. They didn't fire Bach, but he knew it would be hard to get along with the council after that, so he began searching for a new job. He soon found a job as organist in another town. He would receive the same pay as he had in Arnstadt, and he would also be able to redesign an organ that needed to be repaired, just how he wanted it to be. So he took the job. The only problem was that in Arnstadt, he had fallen deeply in love with Maria Barbara, the girl who had sung in the church with him. When he had gone to Lübeck to hear Buxtehude play, he had also checked on taking over Buxtehude's job since he was getting very old. Bach wanted the job and played the organ well enough to get it. He wanted the job, that is, until he found out that there was a string attached. In order to get the job, the person who got it also had to marry Buxtehude's daughter. To Bach, Buxtehude's daughter was a toad, a real frog. She did not appeal to Bach at all. So that meant Bach couldn't have the job. When Bach arrived in Mühlhausen, he missed Maria Barbara so very much. So he brought her to Mühlhausen, and they were married in 1707. Oh, what a joyous, happy day it was. Bach had only been in Mühlhausen for a year when he received an offer to be court organist for the Duke Wilhelm Ernst at Weimar. The Duke lived in a castle and was very wealthy. He offered Bach over 3 times as much money as he was being paid. Besides, it would have been very exciting to work in a duke's court with all the fancy clothes and beautiful castle and all the important visitors who had come to visit. So Bach and Maria moved to Weimar. It was here that Bach had time to write many pieces for the organ and clavier, like toccatas, organ chorales, and the first book of the Well-Tempered Clavier. This time in Bach's life was full of both happiness and sorrow. Maria had 6 children in Weimar. 2 of these children, Wilhelm Friedmann and Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, grew up to be famous musicians. Musical Wonderful Music has a separate tape of C.P.E. Bach. However, not all of his children grew to adulthood. 1 set of twins died while they were still tiny babies. Bach got along well with the Duke until the Duke's nephew, Ernst August, moved into town. Ernst was also a duke, which meant that he could help Duke Wilhelm govern Weimar. Duke Wilhelm didn't like this. He wanted to have all the power himself, so he forbade any of his servants to visit Duke Ernst in his red castle. Bach liked both dukes, but he especially liked Duke Ernst's younger brother, Prince Johann, who had absolutely loved music. Prince Johann grew very sick, so Bach visited him to cheer him up with music. When Duke Wilhelm discovered that Bach was disobeying him, he was very upset. He decided to charge Bach money every time he visited the Red Castle. Well, Bach was very stubborn. He didn't like it at all when he wasn't allowed to do something he felt was his right. So he continued to visit Prince Johann and Duke Ernst. This made Duke Wilhelm angrier and angrier, but he couldn't punish Bach very easily because he enjoyed Bach's music too much. One day, the Kapellmeister, the person in charge of all the music, died. Bach really wanted to be the next Kapellmeister. It was a very important job. And he figured he would be made the new Kapellmeister since he had been doing much of the old man's work anyway. But now the Duke could really punish Bach. He chose someone else as Kapellmeister. Bach was very disappointed and mad. He quit writing music for some time, but he didn't stop all his musical activities. While Bach was on a trip in Dresden, a friend had an idea for a great competition. The organist for the King of France was also in town. This great competition would decide whether Bach or the king's organist was the best organist in the land. Who had the fastest feet, the fastest fingers, the fastest brain? Both men practiced many hours to prepare. Finally, the competition day arrived. Bach and his friend went to the prearranged meeting place. They waited longer. They waited, and they waited, and waited, and waited even longer. Someone was finally sent to locate the king's organist, but he couldn't be found anywhere. He had heard Bach practicing and left town that morning on the first coach. News of Bach's victory spread all over Germany. One day, back at home, Bach received an invitation from the prince, Prince Leopold, to become his Kapellmeister at the court at Kirchen. Bach was elated. He had wanted to be a Kapellmeister for so long. Prince Leopold was very nice, too. Bach wrote to the prince, telling him that he would come. Then he asked Duke Wilhelm to let him resign. But it was not that easy. The Duke was very proud of his famous organist, even though he did not like Bach's behavior, and he refused to let Bach go. Bach persisted in asking again and again and again. The Duke became so enraged that he ordered Bach arrested and had him locked in a house for nearly a month. But Bach did not give in. He just spent the time writing music. At last, the Duke very angrily released Bach. Immediately, Bach began his journey to Kirchen to begin a new, exciting life. Bach dearly loved being Prince Leopold's Kapellmeister, and Prince Leopold was glad to have such a fine Kapellmeister. He and Bach soon became good friends. When Maria had another son, they decided to name him Leopold, after the prince. Bach and Maria were happier than they had ever been before. Everything was going so well. Suddenly, tiny Leopold got sick. He grew slowly worse and worse and worse. The doctors tried everything they knew, but the little boy soon died. Bach and Maria were heartbroken. Perhaps to cheer Bach up, Prince Leopold began planning a vacation to a famous spa in Bohemia in the spring. He didn't like to have his wonderful Kapellmeister so sad. It was good for Bach to get away from Kirchen and to try and bury his sadness. The spa was beautiful that May, with fresh wild flowers blooming and birds chirping merrily all around. Prince Leopold and Bach stayed several months, but they knew they could not stay forever. In July, they started home, with Bach ready once again to make his joyful music. But horrifying news awaited Bach at home. Maria, his love, had become sick and had died while he was gone. She had been buried even before he arrived back. It is difficult to imagine the feelings of despair and loneliness Bach felt. These were dark days for Bach. To have lost a child before he left, and a wife on his return. Bach began applying for other positions to try to get away from Kirthen so that he could deal with his beloved wife's death. However, none of the jobs were even close to being as good as his present job. Finding nothing, he decided to stay. One special day, Bach met a beautiful young girl named Anna Magdalena. They talked a little. They talked a little more. They talked a little more and laughed. Soon Bach found himself thinking more and more about this lovely maid. What do you think was going to happen? That's right. And he also saw her singing in the prince's court. My, didn't she have a wonderful voice? It was so beautiful. And what long, beautiful hair. Oh, and what about her enchanting smile and her eyes and that look? Oh, that look so warmly at him. Bach and Anna Magdalena fell deeply in love. Soon they were married. How happy they were! Anna relieved Bach of many of his responsibilities with the children. She also took care of the house and cooked his meals. She helped him to copy his music. Most of all, she cared for Bach's four children. She and Bach had 13 more children besides. Altogether, Bach had 20 children, even though only 11 lived to adulthood. The Bach house was probably still filled with a lot of laughter and a lot of commotion. About this time, Wilhelm Friedman was nearing high school age. There were not so many good schools in Kirthen, and there was no university. Bach began thinking about moving to a city with schools where his children could attend. Besides, Bach missed writing music for a church. He had only written popular forms of music for Prince Leopold. Something else soon happened that made Bach consider moving even more. Prince Leopold got married himself. At first, Bach was delighted for the prince, for he knew how happy marriage had made him. It wasn't long, though, before Bach learned that she was no Cinderella. Bach learned that the new princess would change many things around the palace. The princess did not like music, especially not the music Bach wrote. She felt too much money was being spent on music that could buy her better clothes and more jewels. And that would have to stop. Trying to please his new wife, Prince Leopold cut back on the funds for music. Bach soon found out that he was no longer such a good friend of the prince. The situation was going downhill fast. One day, Bach heard news that a position was available in Leipzig, a very large and important city for church music. It also had good schools and a fine university. Bach submitted parts of a new composition to show the judges what he could do. The judges liked Bach's pieces, but not as well as they liked some of the other competitors. However, the first two who were chosen for the job already had positions that they were not allowed to leave, so Bach got the job. The large Bach family arrived in Leipzig in 1723. This job was very different from Bach's other jobs. He was the cantor, which meant he was responsible for all of the music at all five churches in Leipzig. Every Sunday, the townspeople came to the churches. Religion was very important to the people during the Baroque period. Music was a very important part of the church service. Since Bach could not possibly be at all five of the churches at the same time, he had to train other people to conduct the music in the churches he was not at. He also had to teach the choir boys their parts. He was also supposed to teach their Latin classes during the week. This was a busy man. The town officials also wanted Bach to write new music for their churches. They wanted to have music no one else had. Now that's quite a switch from the music we listen to today. We like to listen to music over and over again until we get tired of it. But not in those days. They wanted something new every time. Bach wrote at least one new piece per week, and sometimes two during his first years at Leipzig. Most of these pieces were cantatas. A cantata has a choir accompanied by an orchestra. Often it also has soloists. Cantatas usually have several movements. The first 5 years, Bach wrote a cantata for each Sunday and feast days. On a feast day is a special church meeting which is not held on Sunday. That added up to between 59 to 62 cantatas each year. What a lot of music! He also had to copy the parts out for the singers and instrumentalists by hand, since there were no copy machines then. But even more impressive than the amount of work required is that every one of these pieces that we have today is such an excellent composition. Bach never took the easy way out. He didn't take shortcuts just so that he could finish the piece. He didn't let his composing become lazy. He always did his very best. To do the very best you can requires hard work, very hard work. Bach worked hard on his music all his life. Once when someone was commenting on how talented Bach was, he told them, "I had to work hard. Anyone who works as hard as I have will succeed as I have." Bach always strove for excellence. He knew that his hard work would lead him to excellence. During his life, word of Bach's great abilities to play keyboard instruments spread far and wide. The King of Sweden had given Bach a ring for his tremendous playing. Now Frederick the Great heard about Bach's amazing skill. He invited Bach to visit his palace several times. Finally, Bach was persuaded to go, even though he was getting very old at this time. When the king heard that Bach had arrived, all activities for the day were canceled. Immediately, the king sent for Bach, not even allowing him to change from his dusty travel clothes. The king excitedly showed Bach his new Silbermann forte piano, a great-great-great-grandfather of our modern piano. The king was very curious to see if the stories he had heard about Bach were true. He asked Bach to make up a piece right there and play it for him. So Bach did. He made up some pieces right there on the spot. After warming up on pieces of his own composition, he turned to the king, King Frederick the Great, and said, "Now why don't you make a melody up for me, and I'll improvise on it." And that's exactly what King Frederick did. He sat down and tried to make a hard melody for him to improvise on. He gave it to Bach, and Bach immediately made it into a fugue. The fugue is a very demanding form to improvise on. It takes a lot of brains to make it up, even if you're just sitting down with a pencil and have plenty of time to do it. But Bach just spun it off the top of his head. He had the amazing ability to look at a theme and be able to see all the possibilities in it. Later, Bach composed a six-voice fugue on the subject or melody that King Frederick had given him. He sent it to the king as a gift. The piece is called Musical Offering, probably because it was an offering or gift to the king. Both Bach and King Frederick developed a great respect for each other. Bach was a great teacher for those students who really wanted to learn. He wrote many pieces for his students to work on. One of his students was his own wife, Anna. Perhaps you have played one of the pieces Bach wrote for her. They are found in the Anna Magdalena notebook. Many times, Bach played for hours for his students so that they could listen and hear. Today, we have records, tapes, and compact discs that we can listen to of many different good pianists. Bach taught us that listening is a very important part of learning to play beautifully. I would encourage you, just as Bach would encourage you, and your teacher would encourage you, to listen to as much piano music as you possibly can and orchestra music. Go to recitals, go to concerts, listen to other students. As Bach grew older, his eyesight became weaker and weaker. He had strained his eyes through many years of work. It was hard to see at all. Finally, he decided to have a doctor operate on his eyes. He was working on a great composition and needed to be able to see. Bach chose a doctor from England to perform the special operation, that he felt he needed. This operation was to improve his sight. This operation was also very painful. The doctor poked sharp needles into each eye and pushed until the lens had been forced deep into the eyeball. There were no drugs to deaden the pain or put the patient to sleep with, so the doctor brought assistants who held Bach down to keep him from struggling when the doctor jabbed these needles into his eyes. Can you imagine the pain that he went through? He must have really wanted his eyesight, huh? However, the operation didn't work. Bach could not see at all now, and he became extremely ill from the pain of the operation. Some of his family tried to help him by writing down his music as he dictated it to them from his bed. But Bach got worse and worse. Perhaps Bach knew that he was going to die soon because he stopped working on his great composition, The Art of the Fugue, and dictated another piece to his son-in-law, an organ chorale called Before Thy Throne I Now Come. Several months after the operation, Bach's eyesight miraculously returned. He quickly wrote music down, trying to get it all out of his head and onto paper, but the next day his sight was gone. Bach got sicker than ever before. On that day, July 28, 1750, Johann Sebastian Bach died. His music has not died, though. People of all nations love Bach's great music. People on another planet may also love it, for when the Voyager spacecraft was launched in 1977, Bach's music was placed on board to share with any other worlds the Voyager might land on. We can truly say that Johann Sebastian Bach's music is out of this world.